You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 6th of April 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, we've got quite a bit of news to get into today that's of relevance to nationalist ears. And the first bit concerns Muslim terrorists. And of course, they're not taking any time off to quarantine themselves, and they have no concerns about catching coronavirus because they don't care if they live or die, do they? That's the whole point of these jihadi terrorists. They expect to die whilst killing as many other people as possible. French police have launched a terrorism investigation after two people were killed and five wounded in a knife attack in southeast France. The attacker entered a tobacconist shop in Romans-sur-l'Isère near Grenoble and stabbed the owners and a customer. He then attacked more people at two other shops before being arrested. And this happened over the weekend. And it wasn't reported for quite a while, actually, that it was a Muslim terrorist. But I'm sure that was our suspicion. And of course, then it came out that, yes, he was yelling Allah snack bar, which is basically telling everybody who it was that told him to carry out the attack, isn't it? Yet we don't hear calls for the removing of Islamic websites. We don't hear calls for people that talk about Allah to be removed from the internet, from Twitter and Facebook and all the rest of it. But I'm certain that if this had been a white man involved in this, then that's what we would be seeing. We would be seeing all these calls for anybody that talks about nationalism to be silenced. Prosecutors said the suspect was a Sudanese refugee in his 30s who lived in the town. Two other people have also been arrested, police said. So France have been kind enough to take in this black male that claimed to have been under some kind of threat in the Sudan. And he'd made his way across four or five different African countries, five or six different European countries, to get all the way to France to claim that was the only place that he could move to in order to be safe. And this is the way he repays the French people, by stabbing them. At the time of his arrest on Saturday, the man was found on his knees on the pavement praying in Arabic, prosecutors said. The suspect was not previously known to the police or intelligence services, news website France Bleu reported. But of course, it was known that he was a Muslim. It was known that he was a refugee. It was known that the statistics tell us that they are most likely to be involved in terrorism more than any other people group. I think Muslims are hundreds of times more likely to be involved in terrorism worldwide than any nationalists or any advocates for white people. And yet we're told over here in Britain that the fastest growing number of arrests for terrorism is white people. Yet that's not what we see happening, is it? We don't see white terrorism happening. In actual fact, while we've got this quarantine going on, we see white people behaving themselves, doing as they're advised, not gathering. And what do we see the Muslims doing? Well, we see them being asked to move on over the weekend because they kept meeting up for their mosque services all together on a tennis court. And we also see some of these mosques that are still open, that are bragging about the fact that they're still open. Of course, the churches have all closed down. The churches have willingly closed down. The butcher's shop owner, Ludovic Brayton, said he took a knife, jumped over the counter and stabbed a customer and then ran away. My wife tried to help the victim, but in vain. In a statement, the prosecutor's office said initial investigations suggest the attacker had a determined murderous course aimed at seriously disturbing public order by intimidation or terror. During a search of the suspect's home, handwritten documents with religious connotations were found, it said. Prosecutors said they arrested a second Sudanese man at the suspect's home and on Sunday revealed that a third person, a young Sudanese man from the same household, was also in custody. So what does that tell us? It tells us that this wasn't a lone wolf attack. This was an attack that very probably the rest of his household knew about. And they didn't warn anybody about this. The implications from this is that they were involved in this as well. Handwritten documents were left around with these religious connotations. So that implies that the rest of the household knew about this and they didn't think to warn the French. They just allowed it to happen. As I say, I think we're going to be likely to see more of this. Why would the jihadis take time off from their war against the non-Muslim world? More news here from how the foreigners are responding to the coronavirus crisis, and this comes from Austria. Police officers in the Austrian capital of Vienna were the victims of three spitting attacks in a single day, with one of the criminals testing positive for the Chinese coronavirus. All the attacks took place on Wednesday, with the first at a supermarket in the 13th district of Heitzing. A 24-year-old foreigner spat at officers while they arrested him for shoplifting, with the assailant claiming to have not only coronavirus, but also hepatitis and AIDS. And of course, we've seen lots of videos floating around the internet at the moment of this sort of thing going on. Chinese people spitting on fruit, a Chinese lady in Australia being arrested by the police and spitting at the police. The second incident occurred in Floridsdorf and involved another foreigner who had damaged several vehicles before officers arrived on the scene at 11:20 p.m. Police detained the man who spat at officers while resisting arrest and shouting Corona, Corona at them, Kronenzeitung reports. So basically this is a new way that people can attack the police, isn't it? And this, we're likely to see this happening from these non-whites. And another thing that I think we're likely to see, and I have seen a video of this. There was a white man in a supermarket, and he was asking a black woman to get further back, to stay 2 meters away from him. And of course, the black woman was getting very frustrated and angry at this. And you can just imagine it. You know, you ask somebody who isn't white to step back and not get so close to you. And of course, the first thing they're going to think is, this guy's being racist, and they're going to get angry and they're going to start shouting at the person for being racist for not wanting to be near them. I'm just waiting for these sort of accusations to happen that somebody was being racist through doing this. 10 minutes after the second incident, a drunk 30-year-old with Austrian citizenship, who had tested positive for the Wuhan virus several days prior, became violent at a local hospital and tried to spit on both police and hospital security staff as they tried to subdue him. Now, it says here he has Austrian citizenship, but we don't know that he was actually Austrian. He could very well have been a non-white that had been granted citizenship. Spitting attacks during the coronavirus pandemic have been reported in multiple countries in recent weeks. In France, a woman was jailed for 7 months for spitting on officers in the commune of Longjumeau. She shouted racial abuse at officers during the attack, calling them dirty whites and stating, "I have the coronavirus, you're all going to die." Of course, if we had a white person that was shouting racist abuse at somebody non-white and spitting at them, particularly a police officer, I think this would be all over the headlines. This would be massive news. But of course, because it's the other way around, because it's directed at white people, we don't hear about it. And this is being reported in Breitbart. France has isolated over 10,000 police officers due to the virus, according to a police union. And of course, when they get spat upon like this, then they have to be extra cautious and quarantine themselves until the results of a test come through. The United Kingdom also vowed harsh measures against anyone who spits or coughs at others during the crisis, following several spitting and coughing attacks on medical personnel and police officers. And that actually forms a part of the Corona Act. It has provisions within it to jail people for deliberately coughing at police or just members of the public. In Sweden, meanwhile, a pair of YouTubers deleted a video of themselves coughing on locals that they had posted late last month as an internet prank. And I talked about that last week. And yes, once again, they were migrants. Well, unfortunately, we have to continue with the Corona news because that is just about 90% of all the news. And there seems to be a bit of an interesting thing that's happening with China. I mean, if we remember when this first started, people were saying, oh, China's done really well, and they told us about this. They covered it up a little bit at first, and they've only had 3,000 deaths, and now they've managed to get rid of it. But now that it's taking off in Europe, we're realizing that they must have lied to us about these deaths. And the number of urns that are being turned out from the funeral parlours there show that it's actually about 14 to 20 times as many deaths as we were told about. And because they lied about the number of deaths, this has meant, or this could be used as an excuse for why the West didn't respond sufficiently to this threat. As we now know, our health services are being overwhelmed by this. I suspect Boris Johnson is going to be very angry when he comes around. He's in hospital at the moment. I suspect he's going to be very angry at the Chinese. Donald Trump is already angry at the Chinese. I hear that Huawei are not going to now be involved in rolling out 5G in Britain. But this death discrepancy is very, very dangerous, because it means that they haven't been honest with us about just how dangerous a threat this virus is. So on top of that, we've also had tests parts sent to us over here in Britain, and they've actually been contaminated with the coronavirus. And the actual parts of the tests that were contaminated is the probe, the bit that gets put into people's noses to actually take the test. So if those tests hadn't been checked, then what they would have effectively been doing is actually giving the people that were tested the virus. Again, this hasn't made major news. It's been in a couple of news sources. On top of that, we've also been sent faulty masks. I forget whether that was Holland, somewhere in Europe. They were sent a load of faulty masks that weren't even up to FFP1 standard, let alone FFP3. And just while we're talking about masks here, we're still being told in Britain that we don't need to wear masks. And in actual fact, there were news reports over the weekend that were criticizing Donald Trump for saying that he's not going to wear a mask, when America has now suggested people should be wearing masks. And in the same news report, we've got so-called experts over here in Britain telling us, oh no, you don't need to be wearing a mask. Of course you need to be wearing a mask, and really you need to be wearing an FFP3 respirator mask, which is the only type of mask which will filter out the virus. And it turns out that there was an NHS nurse who was wearing one of these respirator masks, very sensibly, and she's had to resign, because the NHS told her that she shouldn't be wearing this mask. It's not part of the advice. Because she wasn't working in critical care, She was just working with normal patients where, of course, they're going to be coughing and they could be spitting blood, or, you know, you just don't know what's happening with these patients. So she sensibly purchased an FFP3 mask, which probably cost her a hell of a lot of money. They're going online for £65 each now, which is, I don't know, 2,000% markup on what they were costing a couple of months back. And she's actually had to resign. So we've still got all these problems with masks over here at the moment. But getting back to the original point that I was making there, the masks that China has sent out, a load of them turned out to be faulty. And I think we're now starting to see a sea change where rather than accusing people of being racist for pointing out that there are problems with the way China has dealt with this outbreak, we're now starting to see the establishment going along with it. We had advisors to the British government suggesting that it may have escaped from the Wuhan virology department. And also, we've actually had someone on the BBC correcting somebody and saying it is a Chinese virus. I mean, this really surprised me. The BBC's Chris Mason took a Labour representative to task during Friday's Any Questions programme after she denied suggestions that the coronavirus was a Chinese virus, prompting Mason to lash out. And don't forget, the BBC up until now have been criticising Trump for calling this the Chinese virus, which of course is exactly what it is. It's no different to calling the Spanish flu or Middle East respiratory syndrome. The BBC's Chris Mason pointed out that it was simply a fact that the coronavirus was a Chinese virus after a Labour official refuted this description. Lara McNeil, a youth representative for Labour, said it was not the case the pandemic was a Chinese virus, prompting Mason to intervene. Where does she think it came from then? Is she one of these conspiracy theorists that think that it actually came from America, even though it's now infecting America? He told the Labour official, factually, this is a Chinese virus, adding China is where it came from. And that is true. That is where the first reports of this virus emerged from. During Friday evening's panel discussion on BBC's Any Questions, Miss McNeil tried to correct the host, Chris Mason, on his labelling of the pandemic. She said there has been some appalling spike in hate crimes towards Chinese and East Asian people, which is very worrying, so we have to be careful about saying this is a Chinese virus. That is not the case. Now, that I'm just amazed at that she thinks that because there have been some hate crimes towards the Chinese, then that means that the facts aren't actually the facts. That means that it's not factually a Chinese virus. That means it didn't actually come from China. I mean, this is the emotional arguments that people on the left use, and particularly women use, because they are more prone to emotion than logic. It's just the way that they are actually built. But this Labour advisor here, or whatever she is, Labour youth representative for Labour, she actually thinks that that is a good enough reason to say that it isn't. I mean, factually, it did come from China. It doesn't matter. I mean, there could be thousands of hate crimes that happen, but it still doesn't change the fact that it actually originated in China. I'm just amazed that she thinks that that is an excuse, or that is a valid reason for it not to have come from China. Mason rightfully rebuked her. Hang on a minute. It's just factual that this is a Chinese virus. I mean, that is where it came from. Miss Neal, who serves on Labour's National Executive Council, responded, "There has been a lot of Chinese and East Asian people receiving racist abuse in the UK and across the world as a result of this, so it's an important point to make, with people suggesting certain sanctions should be put on China because of this." Well, again, none of that is a reason for it not actually coming from China. The only way you could say that this isn't a Chinese virus is if you find somebody else that had the virus and they were actually in another country at the time. But the really interesting thing about this is that this is not the sort of thing you would expect a BBC journalist to be saying. And of course, there are theories that this could be a build up to some kind of falling out with China, possibly sanctions, possibly a war. I mean, look at the cost of this. I mean, their lies about the number of deaths that they had over there is now the knock on effect of that is that our countries weren't properly prepared for it, and now we're crashing our economies because of it. Perhaps China, they're going to try and force China to pay for this, like they forced Germany to pay for the First World War. Only in this case, they would actually be quite right to start charging China for this. Now, talking about differences between men and women, there's also a news article that came out, I think it's in the New York Post, with a suggestion as to why men are 70% more likely to get severe complications from COVID-19. And this is particularly interesting because they've been trying to say, oh, it must be something to do with the male lifestyle. They don't wash their hands enough. Maybe they're not as clean and hygienic as women. I mean, all these insulting ideas have been suggested for this, and nobody's been saying, well, it's because men are different to women. And now this researcher has pointed out the reason for it. And they say the X chromosome is responsible for your immunity system. It's responsible for your body's defenses against viruses. And the Y chromosome, which is what men have, women have two X chromosomes and men have an X and a Y chromosome. The Y chromosome is just specifically responsible for things that are unique to males. So it's not really responsible for that much, but the X chromosome is responsible for the majority of things. And women have two X chromosomes. They have one from their mother and one from their father. And the X chromosome represents the immunity system of the mother, and the other X chromosome represents the immunity system of the father. So they've essentially got two lots of this immunity defenses. Whereas the men, they've got the Y chromosome either from the mother or the father, and then they've got one X chromosome either from the mother or the father. So they've only got half the variability in immunity defenses as women would have. And I think this is a good enough explanation as to why men are more likely to get this. And of course, it just proves that there are these big differences between men and women. We are physically different. We are biologically different. Transsexuals can claim to be women as much as they like, but they're still going to be 70% more likely to 70% of them are still going to have these complications rather than the 30% of women that are going to have them. I've got a really good bit of news, actually, to finish off with. And this concerns Viktor Orban, who just goes from strength to strength. I mean, the guy has got to be the best political leader that we have in Europe. At the moment, he's doing really well at keeping coronavirus out of his country. He's doing really well at keeping the immigrants out. The only coronavirus that actually came into his country was from Iranians, and they refused to obey the quarantine, so he had to deport them. And he has said it's a two-pronged battle we are fighting. One is against the coronavirus, and one is against the immigrants, and the both of them are linked together. And what he's done, he's given himself extra powers as the leader of Hungary. And of course, the left have been screaming about it, that democracy has ended there and Viktor Orban is now a dictator. The first thing he did was remove these special rights that transsexuals had. And that's not going to be taught to children anymore. It's not going to be promoted. It's not going to be said that it's a good thing to people to be a transsexual, because of course it's not. That, you know, they have lead very sad lives because they're not happy in the body that they're in, so you don't want to encourage it. But now he's come up with a solution to actually pay for the problems that it's going to cause in the economy to come out with this quarantine. The Hungarian government says it will impose new taxes on multinational retail chains and banks to boost state budget revenues needed to fight the coronavirus pandemic. Fantastic. Notice he's not saying national retail chains, so he's not going to put new taxes on Hungarian retail businesses, only on the multinational ones and on the banks. Retailers will pay about $106 million and banks about $162 million, while a vehicle tax totaling $100 million, normally paid by car owners to municipalities, will be transferred to the central budget. So the car owners aren't actually going to pay any more there. It's just that the money that they do pay in is going to be sent off to the central budget. And you may say, well, this is just in the millions, and we're talking about billions and trillions elsewhere. But the exchange rate is very low in Hungary. It's one of the lowest paid countries in Europe. So they really don't need as much money as other countries do in order to get by. Gergely Gulyás, Prime Minister Viktor Orbán's chief of staff, also said on Saturday that political parties will lose 50% of their state funding, saving the budget about $3.5 million. Again, so the actual politicians there are going to take a cut. They're going to take half the salary that they have been receiving. And this is the sort of thing, these are the sort of ways that a nationalist government would deal with this problem. We're all in this together. The politicians are going to take a pay cut, and we'll try and get the majority of our money from the multinational corporations and from the international banks. Gulyás said health sector employees will get a bonus of about $1,500 at the start of summer. Fantastic. Why isn't the UK doing that? Why haven't you heard America doing that, saying that they're going to give out a big bonus to the doctors and the nurses that are having to deal with this? Measures totaling 18 to 20% of gross domestic product to counter the economic effects of the pandemic will be announced early next week. And Hungary has reported a total of 678 confirmed virus cases and 32 deaths. So as I say, Viktor Orbán, he just goes from strength to strength. He's a really good leader. And I know people in Hungary probably say, oh, he's not that good, and he clamped down on the small tobacconist shops or whatever, but the grass is always greener. It's like when Putin does really good things, and we look over and we see Putin's banning the promotion of homosexuality and putting it into the constitution that Russia was begun by Russians, and it needs to be majority Russian to have its culture, and it needs to be Christian. And we think, oh, that's great. But the Russians themselves will say, oh, he's not that good. He locks up real nationalists. And, you know, the grass is always greener. It always does look better elsewhere. But I do think Viktor Orbán is one of the best world leaders that we have at the moment. And this is great what he's doing here to prop up the economy. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the nationalist community.